Thank you for the students that are represented here in Darrell and those that are represented online. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can escort us in the mind of God to reveal those things that we had not seen, heard, or even dreamed about. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross, putting yourself in our position so that we can be elevated to your position. We give you glory and honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you would, we're going to continue chapter 7. I want you to go to the book of Ruth, first chapter. Last time we were together was before the holidays. Matter of fact, let me explain this. We, of course, we're having class this week. We'll have class. Today is the, what, third? Second. We'll have class on the 9th. And we will have class on the 16th. All right, so the next 3 weeks we will have classes. All right. After that, the 17th, which is the Tuesday. I think that's it, yeah, Tuesday. I'm going off memory. That'll be our last class for the year. All right, for 2013. When we come back, you'll have exams. And so you'll have all the holidays to study for exams and catch up on some other things you might want to catch up on. But we will not have class the week of Christmas, which is the, I think it's the 22nd, 23rd. We will not have class on December 22nd and 23rd, all right? So when we come back, we're continuing our exams. And in this particular class, we will not change books. I think in your on your Tuesday night class with Pastor Walker, you're going to be changing books. All right, y'all are studying what first? The gift, Revelation. I think you'll be going to Catching the Revival. I think it is. I think that's it. Catching the Revival. I think that's it. I'm not sure, but you will change books. But he'll let you know. When you come back, be ready for your exam. So that means actually we'll have about 3 weeks we won't be in class. All right, listen. Be about 3 weeks where you actually won't be in class here. Because when we come back, don't show up here that Monday. When we come back after the holidays in January, because that's gonna be exam week. Then we'll come back the following week. I think it's the 7th, or I think it's one of those days when we come back, I think. I'm not sure, but I'll be sure to email you the schedule, email you the holiday schedule, and it will be accurate so you know exactly what's going on. All right? Secondly, real some exciting news. I don't know if some of you got the email about the Roku. Roku is an added feature to the school that we're adding. It's not replacing the internet. I have some questions about that. It's not replacing the internet. It's just adding on to it. So those that are watching by internet, you'll have a chance to. You don't have to be squinting your eyes at the small screen anymore. You'll be able to have a chance to put it on your flat screen, your big screen TV, your plasma, or whatever you may have, HD, or whatever you may have, LED, LCD, or whatever type of TV you have. You'll be able to put it on there. And it's it takes the same thing that was on the internet and allows you to see it on your big screen TV. So that's what the Roku is. And it's a private code that we'll have for school. So over the holidays, I will be emailing you instructions. If you want to get a Roku, that's my Christmas gift to ask for. If you get the Roku and you want to set up your classes on Roku, I will send out instructions on how to do that. It'll be a private code that you'll be given so that you can find the channel, the Roku channel. And I'm saying a lot of terms that you might not understand now, but when you get the Roku, all of it will start making sense. You'll be able to find the channel, and you have all your classes. You can go back and look at them as many times you want. You'll be able to look at them on your big screen TV, and so it won't be no more than on your iPhone squinting and on your iPad and on your laptop. You'll actually be able to sit in your living room in front of your big screen TV and watch it. So that's some exciting news. We'll be implementing that after the holidays. All righty, so much for that. Ruth, the first chapter. Let me find the book of Ruth. Ruth, the first chapter. Last time we were together, we started off in chapter 7, defining covenant. We begin to go over a few things with covenant. begin to go over, you know, rules of engagement, begin to go over, it was, I think it was 6 points we went across. Make sure we got it right, yeah. The accurate principles of the covenant, yeah, seven. There was seven. Hearts connected through frequency of the Spirit, knowing the true affection, love, and care for the person you come in covenant with. Covenant is not selfish or manipulative. Covenant means two parties and total commitment to walk together. Covenant, my favorite one, is enhanced by the spirit of sacrifice. That's very important. Spirit of sacrifice. Covenant paves the way for each other to come into fulfillment of God's destiny for our lives. And number seven, any deficiency in our present covenant relationship can manifest in the next generation. So that, number seven, is directly connected to number five. There must be a spirit, have a spirit of sacrifice. All right, so we went over those. Tonight, we're going to the B part of the seventh chapter, and we're going to talk about the accurate mental attitude of covenant. All right? We went over seven principles, accurate principles of covenant. Now we're going to go over the accurate mental attitude of covenant. Notice the difference. Principles, attitude. One has to do with laws, principles. This one has to do with how we ought to think towards covenant. All right? And we're going to use Ruth as an example. We can use many others, but we're going to use Ruth because Ruth altogether put together a very, she exemplifies covenant. See, Ruth exemplifies covenant. Say again, that Ruth exemplifies covenant. If you ever want to read a story about covenant, read about Ruth. We often go to Boaz. We'll read about Ruth, but we don't see the spirit of sacrifice. She's connected in destiny. Mm-hmm. You see that? Watch this. Let me go back over to the seven right quick. Go back over to the seven things. You can see all in Ruth. Hearts connected through the purpose of the spirit. Perfection, love, and care for the person. She fell in love with Naomi's son, but then she also fell in love with Naomi. As far as Oprah said, hey, it's over. I was only coming to you because of your son. All right? Number four, cutting these two parties and total commitment to walk together. Not only did Ruth fall in love with Naomi, but Naomi fell in love with Ruth because it was Naomi that told Ruth what to do. You remember that? All right? See, these are very accurate. Covenant is enhanced by the spirit of sacrifice. Here it is. Naomi told her, I ain't got no more time for you. I ain't got no more time for you. She said, no, Naomi, your God shall be my God. Your people shall be my people. I'm not here for what I can get. Because she had this is true covenant. Really, Ruth had every right to leave. Because when we said the only two reasons why a covenant should be severed is because of what? Death and somebody walking away from God. Son died. So she had every right to walk away, but she sacrificed God looking for another safety, that safety bar, for another relationship, because she saw something in Naomi. Is this making sense? Number six, covenant paves the way for each other to come into the fulfillment of God's destiny for our lives. Naomi was restored land, was restored to her what she had lost, because of Ruth. Ruth was restored a husband that she lost. Are y'all starting to see what covenant? See, the Bible says God will take the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. So it's very simple. It's very simple for me. If the world system does something one way, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to make a decision to do it another way. Now, why do I think of that? Do I think that, you know, everything's wrong? But wait a minute now. If the world system says this is how it ought to be done, then I need to really check with God and see how He wants it done. Because according to the world system, we head to the left. According to the world system, we don't even have nothing to offer her anymore. According to the world system, she's supposed to go and look for another husband another way. Besides the way it worked out. So what I'm saying, but what am I trying to get you to see? God doesn't operate through our normal courses of the He doesn't operate through the world system. He doesn't operate that way. He doesn't do things normal. The covenant is not normal. You're not going to just walk in covenant in the natural. You're going to have to be in the supernatural. Any deficiency in our present covenant relationship can manifest in the next generation. We gave it all. So you see that she began to establish the next generation because she sacrificed, she had the spirit of sacrifice, and gave all in her current relationship. Does that make sense? Things were restored because she gave all. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Go with me to Mark the 10th chapter. Now we're going to see and understand this scripture. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Mark the 10th chapter. And we'll come back to Ruth. Verse 28, Mark 10, verse 28. Now we're about to understand this scripture. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lord, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I tell you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land for my sake and the gospel. But he shall receive a 100 So now, in this time, of houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. Now this scripture makes sense if we apply it in the same sense that Ruth applied it. Ruth gave all. Ruth gave all. See, the spirit of sacrifice, she gave all. So here is Jesus reminding us of a principle that God has established. You ain't going to give up all and not receive 100-fold of what you gave up in this lifetime. I love it when Jesus said, in this lifetime. There's not none of sweet by and by. Ruth gave up all, I'm supposed to give up some opportunities. But she saw something in Naomi that she wanted to connect to. And she gave up all to do it. And we see what happened to her. Back to Ruth. Covenant is very important. God doesn't operate outside of covenant. He doesn't operate outside of covenant. The attitude that you must have in covenant is know the importance of following after those we choose to walk with in covenant. Know the importance of following after those we choose to walk. Now, notice what the author is saying. Know the importance of following after those we choose. Not first, but choose to walk in covenant with. Watch this. Number one, we must passionately pursue God, who is the covenant maker and initiator. God would not be chasing after us. God already went after us.
tell you what I thought. When he sent his only son to die on the cross, listen to me, when he sent his only son to die on the cross to redeem us. But we must be the ones seeking and searching for him. You go over a number of scriptures, seeking where he may be found, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Watch this. It's important to have this mental attitude and covenant. Then we can communicate and connect accurately to those with whom we are in covenant. We will visibly and constantly connect and pursue those who are part of our lives. There is an active approach toward those whom we are in covenant with. Now watch this now. Very clear. Very clear. You'll see a pattern. When you do your own study, you'll see this. You'll see a pattern with God. When you go after God, and you truly go after God, the very first thing that God is going to do, listen at me, the very first thing that God is going to do is connect you with somebody that is already ahead of you in the path where you're going. That's the very first thing he's going to do. He's done it over and over and over again in the Bible. Over and over and over again in the Bible. You can look at, we go up examples of it. Matter of fact, let's look at one of the very first examples. Then look at Abraham. You say, who was Abraham connected to? Well, this is what you got to think about this one. If you go to Genesis, the 14th chapter, and you get to go to that latter part of that chapter, you begin to see where it says, Abram tithed. To who? Let's take it there. Right? Now, two things here. One, he did that act before there was ever a law. Alright? So that means that he did that out of his heart. His heart going after God. So God said this. God said, if he's willing to tithe, and give me a tenth of all he has as a representation of his love for me, then I must become first. That's Hebrews 7. Because my tenth doesn't have no beginning, no end, no mother, no father. The only person I know like that is God Jehovah. Are you seeing this? So watch this. In order to establish that covenant, God didn't allow him to establish that covenant with a sinner, if you allow me to say it like that. God became flesh so that Abraham could connect. Is that making sense? Over and over, Elijah and Elisha. Elisha, God was speaking to Elijah and said, "Go to the same city. I got somebody I want you to cover. I want you to get with." Elijah was there with his eyes and his stuff, and Elijah came and threw his coat over him, and he said, let me go take it. He said, Elijah told me, listen, I was doing fine before I got here. Other words, I'm paraphrasing. I didn't really have to come. I only came here because God sent me here. I don't know why he sent me here, but he sent me here looking for you. Why did God send him looking for Elijah? Because Elijah was crying out to God, seeking God. Look at Moses. Joshua. Over and over and over. Look, once even with our Savior, Jesus. Jesus told John the Baptist, it is necessary for you to baptize me. Paul. When he was Saul, with Brian. He had to go find Ananias. Ananias began to take him through the picture. Are you saying this? So, when you're really going after God, and see, this is where most people and we ministers have issue with. Because when God calls us to do something, the first thing God is going to do is connect us with somebody that's already been doing what we want to do. Why is that? It's because God wants to keep his agenda, keep his covenant, keeps his momentum in line. Keep it gaining momentum, gaining force, going forward, going towards destiny. This is why we have a whole bunch of churches that just pop up all over the place and nobody doing nothing. They stay small. They're not impacting the community. They're impacting the state. They're impacting the country. Why? Because they heard God speak to them, but never got connected to somebody who was doing what they were already doing. So now they got to reinvent the wheel. When the wheel don't need to be reinvented, the wheel is existing already. All you got to do is get on and grab hold. Am I making sense? So we must watch this now. We must know the importance. That's why I emphasize the importance of following after those we choose to walk in covenant with. Are you seeing this? So God is going to say, that's one of the keys to know that you're walking with God. And when God connects you with somebody who is already doing what you were designed, what God had called you to do. It is egotistical for you to think that God originated his plan with you. It's a pride issue. It's an ego issue. God did not originate his agenda with you. So when God calls us, he calls us and has graced us to be connected so that we can enhance somebody else's grace and that person can enhance our grace. Does this make sense? The second mental attitude and covenant that we must have is that we are connected together in destiny with those we have covenant with. No persuasion, rumor, or even lies can separate us from keeping covenant and staying in covenant. Look at this. The door of the way and keep it all well is the vow we make in the marriage covenant. Now, why? I think it's mighty strange that the church took that out. Quote, unquote, especially word of faith, quote, unquote, because they want they tell bad confession. No, you bad confession. You need to be there with that person when good that time and the bad time. You need to be with that person if they fall sick. That's covenant. We must be realistic as those we are in covenant with. Watch this, it's a good point. We must be realistic as those we are in covenant with are just as human as we are. They are bound to have weaknesses, fears, and failures. So when we come to covenant, you ought to know already that whoever you come to covenant with, they're going to have some weaknesses. They're going to have some failures. They're going to have some shortcomings. That is not the time to run. You know why we like to run to those times of sex? We Christians. You know why we like to run? Because we have our own self-image to uphold. And I can't be connected to that because this person don't think I'm doing the same thing. Why in the world are you worried about what they think? Do you realize Jesus, if that's the case, Jesus was the most sinful person to ever live. Because he never came out of Pharisee. Matter of fact, when Jesus was looking for his disciples, he didn't even go to the God. Now we're going to say, God, you were getting straight sinners. I mean, Peter was just as crazy as they come. He had a thief with him. He had one disciple with him. Didn't believe nothing he did. Everybody Jesus healed was sinners. Think about it. Everybody healed was sinners. So Jesus didn't run from people's weaknesses. He didn't run from their failures. Peter denied him three times. After Jesus spent all that time with Peter, preparing Peter for ministry, when he came down to it, Peter denied him three times. Jesus got about to go and come back to Peter and said, Peter, look, do you love me? Most of us would have said, Peter, I'm not giving you a god doggone thing. You know we've been tight these 3 years. You know we've been together. And here it is, you can tell these people, you don't know me? Weakness. We're human. We're going to have weaknesses. Covenant
covenant, watch this. Covenant should not be based on somebody else's strength. It should be based on your strength. Your strength covering their weakness. Covenant should not be based on, watch this, covenant should not be based on just you being full of faith, but it should be your faith or your obedience to God helping bring somebody else to their destiny. So when somebody mentions, I'm not scared of, see, here's the thing. The Bible says, watch this, the Bible says we are the righteousness of God. Not that we have to do something for it, but we are. And we just is. That means we don't have to be afraid of sin. Sin no longer has power over us. So if sin no longer has power over us, then why do we act like we're scared of sin? Why do we act like we're scared when somebody is in sin, we're scared to talk to them? We're scared to cover them. Especially when our brother and sister fall. Oh, Lord forbid that happens. Because we treat them like they got the bubonic plague. We can't touch them. We can't talk to them. You just out in the cold, partner. You just left up. Now you got to go handle this on your own. Are you saying this? See, Ruth understood that with Naomi because in those days, the son took care of the mother. All the sons died. So she had a weak moment. She had a weak point. Ruth didn't leave. Ruth stayed there, and both of them walked into destiny. Is this making sense? Our ability to keep covenant and stay true while helping each other overcome until our destiny is reached is essential. Our ability to keep covenant and stay true while helping each other overcome until our destiny is reached is essential. We cannot drop our commitment to covenant as the first sign of weakness or misunderstanding shows up. No one must persuade us from parting company as we know it until death do us part. Now watch this. Here's a fear that often arises in those who misunderstand human relationships. One, two reasons allow genuine separation and covenant. We talked about this. One is physical death, as we are free from the partner who is dead. Did we talk about that? Number two, the second reason is that we can be free from covenant is when the God who has joined us together in the past is now, in the present moment, revealing why we must break free. God must initiate this, not us. God must initiate the breaking up, not us. It was God that gave David the right to separate from Saul. Why? It was God gave Samuel the right also to separate from Saul. Why that he was able to separate from Saul? Because God himself said, I have rejected Saul as king. And why did he reject Saul as king? Because Saul did not want to accept Samuel as the leader. Saul was supposed to wait on Samuel before he offered some burnt offerings. He got scared and nervous, did himself in a way. When Samuel got there, Samuel said, what are you doing? You do this part, I'm going to do this part. Saul kept doing things his way, and God said, oh, I can't do this. I rejected him as king. So that day, now watch this. Even after he had been rejected as king, David still was honorable to him. Are you seeing this? Still was honorable to Saul. He wasn't in covenant with Saul, but he still was honorable to him. Are you seeing this? See, what happens is we have human tendencies, and this will bring strife in the church. When somebody goes wrong or does go wrong,
We feel we have a right to chastise them. We feel we have a right to bring judgment on them. Do we know we're not to judge anybody? The only thing we're supposed to judge is ourselves and our hearing from God. God will take care of everything else. You've learned it in the cult of honor. There are consequences. Trust me, consequences will be the judge of a person's action. God must initiate this breaking by revealing to us, watch this, the evidence of sin, wrong doctrines, satanic manifestations, and a contamination that could destroy us if we continue to relate. One example is, you know, we in class, I can use an example. I still think he's a great man of God. I'm still praying for his recovery. But in wrong doctrine, Bishop Carson Pilsen starts coming out with the gospel of inclusion. Start saying, you know, everybody's saved. You know, I don't know if they're in hell or not. No, that's going against what the Bible says. And he came here to minister in this church. And right before he broke out with that doctrine. Are you seeing this? There was a relationship that was forming between him and Dr. Thompson, but when that revelation came up and he wouldn't let me go, Dr. Thompson severed the relationship. Are you seeing what I'm saying? See, when you have wrong doctrine, God said, that's the reason why you have a right to break covenant. Now, I don't mean I'm going around and pleasuring him. I'm praying for him. Hoping that somebody can reach out to him. Somebody close to him will reach out to him and say, hey, man, you know, you got to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. You know, Jesus, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man gets to the Father, but by me. Those who are in covenant are given the opportunity to repent and be transformed. But when all the processes of restoration have failed, then we are free to walk out from the obligation of a relationship gone wrong. Are you seeing this? Is this making sense? I want you to sink in because these accurate mental attitudes for covenant are very important. Because remember, you can't do this in the natural. You can't do this in the natural. It's gonna be done in the supernatural. You know, people always come to me, hey, should I divorce? Should I divorce this person? I always say, hey, if God is spoken to you and people and the person you connect to is not following what God is saying, and they're contaminating you, you got that right. Are you seeing this? Then I'm not going to make a decision. Are you? What should I do? I don't know. Should I? I don't know. Well, my wife's fine. But if the person is leading you away from where God has placed you, are you seeing this? This is what we talked about this. See, because it's not hard. It's very simple, but we make it hard. If God is the center, everything else revolves around Him. And if God is the center, God is very harmonious. There will be no conflict when God is the center. Rather than the old paradigm with God first, everything else last. No, God is the center. Because God, why am I going to put my family after God? When God gave me my family. But if I put God in the center, my family revolves around. And God is not the author of confusion. He orchestrates the center of the religious man or what? ordered. Another word for order we can use is orchestrated. God is a very harmonious God. So everything will work around him. Third mental attitude in covenant. What time is it? How much time I got left? Thank you, ma'am. Third mental attitude in covenant. We are connected together in destiny with those we have covenant with. We are connected together in what? In destiny. Are you seeing that? That means it's possible for me to stay by myself and never reach my destiny. Matter of fact, that's what's going to happen. If I stay by myself and stay alone and stay on my own island and think I have all the answers, that means I'm never going to reach my destiny. That means when I come into covenant with somebody, that means we're headed to the same place. We're headed to a destiny. We're headed towards destiny. We're moving in the same direction and course, and we are part of the destiny. Ruth and Naomi were connected in destiny. Naomi had lost her future income. Right? Ruth had lost a present husband. Right? Naomi had a covenant because he was Hebrew. Ruth was young. Still had a life ahead of her. Naomi's connection, being Hebrew covenant, was a strength. So they come together. What a covenant does? A covenant eliminates weaknesses. So they became partners together in destiny. So you can see how Naomi's future income came through Ruth. And Ruth's present husband came through. See, Boaz, if it wasn't for now Ruth's connection, Ruth's connection to Naomi, she'd never call Boaz past. Is this making sense? We're joined together as a winning team and have chosen the same course of actions towards our agreed goal. Know that there's agreed goal. Agreed goal. Those who misunderstand covenant come together in relation to a different agenda. When a couple marries, they have started a journey together towards destiny. Marriage is not the end of the journey, but just the beginning of a journey towards destiny. When couples marry and settle down, it reveals a lack of foresight and divine purpose. The woman would develop her own plan while the husband does his own thing. They're on two different arenas and doing two different activities. Ruth was to manage the dean and Boaz's field so that she could become a part of what was being done there. Are you seeing this? Naomi began to coach her about covenant. Begin to coach and tell her, now you need to do this. You need to do this, Ruth. Do this. Now, watch this. If Ruth didn't trust Naomi, she wouldn't have done what she said. Remember, connected together in destiny, going toward a common goal. We as partners in destiny have to synchronize our calendars and our activities to do the same thing from the different angles of our lives. Man, you read that one to LTMA members. Because we out here doing these money coming to you conferences and they come up with all kinds of excuses of why they can't get to the conference. They become all kinds of excuses about why they can't get to this conference, why they can't come to the first tier conference, why they can't come to Prosperity Revival, why they can't do this. Let me read this again so maybe the LTMA members that are listening can hear me. We as partners in destiny have to do what? synchronize our calendar and our activities to do the same thing from a different angle of our lives. Everyone in covenant is moving from where they are towards the fulfillment of destiny. That means when you come into covenant, a God-ordained covenant, that means your present condition is the worst you ever going to be. It can't even be get better from here. Why? Because we're going towards a destiny. We're all moving in the direction of fulfilling what God has for our lives together. So that's why I hate the statement, I'm trying to find God's will for my life. I hate that statement. What's wrong with simply finding God's will? What's wrong with simply finding God's will? Because when you say, I'm trying to find God's will for my life, what you're saying is, when God speaks to me about me, that's when I'm going to move. Instead of moving when God speaks. So my whole outlook on life has been, God, what is your will? Not just for my life. I trust that, God, I trust you that you have my best interest at your heart. So when I come to you, I'm not coming to you in any pretenses about how I want you to talk to me, or what I want you to talk to me about, or what I want you to do for me. God, what is your will? Jeremiah 29:11. I will talk. And I'll think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a destiny and expect an end. Every action, every plan, every activity of even one of every one partner must motivate all involved in covenant to get closer towards the fulfillment of destiny. Number four. The fourth mental attitude of those in covenant. We carry the same concerns and burdens in our hearts. The Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verses 20-21, for I have no one else of kindred spirit who would genuinely be concerned for your welfare, for they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. Paul talking. Now, Paul talking when he was beginning to send out Timothy and send out different ones. He told one group of people, I'm sending Timothy because I don't know nobody else going to do what I would do it. Because if it isn't somebody else, we're going to have their own agenda. We cannot walk in selfishness if we choose the path of covenant. This is why the principle number five, principles of covenant we talked about earlier, you don't have a spirit of, come on, say it. We're scared of that word. We're scared of that word because we think sacrifice is going to cause us to miss out. But if we believe the Bible, that's impossible. How is that impossible? Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's impossible because God said, here's my mark. So whatever a man does, what's going to happen? So when I have a spirit of sacrifice, that means whatever I sacrifice, no man is doing it mother, father, sister, cousin, land, for nothing. You're going to receive 100-fold now in this life. A spirit of sacrifice. We need to have a measure of maturity and be big enough to live for others. Wow. We need to have a measure of maturity and be big enough to live for others if covenant relationships are going to mean something in the future. Man, it's powerful. If we are engaging in our own lives, activities, and pursuits, it will not be possible to keep the same concerns in our hearts as are in the hearts of those in covenant with us. Being preoccupied. You know, we're going to talk about it later on, but sometimes the troubles that come in your life that take your attention, comes on purpose to take your attention from being in covenant. And if you don't watch it, those people or those situations will preoccupy you and take your attention, and therefore you begin to lose sight of the covenant that God has put you in. Number five. We partake. Watch this. The fifth mental attitude for those who... Did I go for number four? Let's do number three. Number four, because I was messed up in the notes. Number three, we got the same concern. Yeah, that's it. All right, that's God, we got it. I got it. I'm clear now. Number five. We partake in the same grace as those we are covenant with. Now, this is important. We partake in the same grace, the same empowerment, the same favor. We got favor with God because of Naomi. If we had not been connected to Naomi, she would have never got an audience with Boaz. The grace of the empowerment of the special treatment that Naomi had, Ruth partook of it. Are you seeing this? We must serve the same God and the same people. We need the same empowerment and equipment as we pursue the same course of destiny. The Philippian church was participating in the sharing of the gospel together with Paul because they were partaking the same grace Paul was tapped into. You remember that? Paul said, for my God to supply all your needs. Paul and Paul releasing his grace on the Philippians. They were drawing the grace from Paul and had been equipped to become co-laborers with him. Paul encouraged Timothy to recover the gift and grace that with him, which he had been taught to him by the laying on of hands. Paul wanted Timothy to tap on the same grace and gift so that he could be equipped to serve the same goal of the furnace of the gospel and the power of God. He wanted Timothy to have the same power, same grace, because they were fulfilling the same agenda. There's no need for him to take that grace and that power to try to fulfill another agenda because it wouldn't work. Because the only reason why Paul was anointed and grace like he was to fulfill this agenda. So therefore, if this agenda is not going to be fulfilled, there's no need for having that grace. Does that make sense? I'm going to try to go, I don't run out of time. All right, let's do it. We'll save 6 and 7 for next week. All right? So let me go to 5 again, and I'm going to close right here. We'll go to 5 real quick. One, we follow those we have covenant with. Two, we are inseparable from those we have covenant with. We can't be separated. Three, we are connected together indefinitely with those we have covenant with. Number four, we have the same concerns as those we have covenant with. And five, we partake the same grace as those we have covenant with. Next week, we'll go over paying the price to honor those we have covenant with and taking a stand in righteousness with those we have covenant with. Then we'll go into chapter 8. You all have a wonderful evening.